Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
While we're here, we have an opportunity to be able to do things for eternity, for people. This would speak even more importantly of us living for Christ, wanting our lives to shine for Him, wanting to take opportunities to people to see Christ in us and to share Christ with them.
What we do here on this earth can make an eternal impact in the lives of those around us, which is why it's so important that we share the reason for our joy, the source behind our strength that helps us persevere through storms and trials in our lives. Paul got this. He lived it, which is why we have his letter written to the Philippians today. With Philippians chapter 1, 19 through 26, and part 2 of our teaching, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
We are citizens right now, we are citizens of heaven, not citizens on earth. We're like Abraham, who was looking for a city whose foundations were built by God. He didn't go live in any city because he was looking for a city whose foundations were built by God. And so there's two verses. One is Hebrews 13, verse 14, where it says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one that is to come." And then in Philippians 3:20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." In the same book we're studying now, just three chapters later, our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body. He's talking about the rapture of the church, the day when Jesus comes back for us in the clouds, and we are caught up together with him. The dead in Christ rise first. It's a resurrection. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." This is why there's so much, you know, debate over the rapture. It's a mystery. "We will not all sleep." By that he meant die, but some of us are going to be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. This helps us to understand that Paul's also thinking about the intermediate state, what we call today the intermediate state. Paul wouldn't have called it that, but we do. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. So he says, the body's being conformed to his glorious body, so we will be like Christ, who would show up in a room when the doors and windows were locked. So many things we could talk about that are like that. And then he says, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we're sojourners here on earth. We get too connected to the things of this world. In the book of James, we're told that if we love the world more than we love God, that we are an adulterer and adulteress. That's an analogy to speak of how important it is for us not to be too connected to this world, not to be too in love with this world. And quite frankly, we see it clearly in the passage that we're studying today with Paul. We see that Paul is not connected to the world, that for him would even prefer to go up and to be in heaven. Now, we talked about what heaven is like, but let's talk about the intermediate state. When Lisa, who passed away in 2012, my late wife, when she had finally kind of just realized that God was taking her home, God delivered her by taking her to be with him, instead of delivering her from cancer. It's interesting to me, her mom had a biopsy done. They found something in one of her lungs, that a biopsy done, and it came back as lung cancer. We prayed for her, we anointed her for oil, we prayed for her, other people were praying for her. They went in, they took out the lobe, because it was maybe stage 2, maybe one other lymph node. So they go in to get the lobe, and there was no cancer in it. After a biopsy, she had no cancer in it. The doctors were just like, "I don't know." Here's what the doctor said to her. "I don't know. Things like this happen." Well, that's interesting. We don't ever hear that very often, do we? Things like this happen where they do a biopsy and it's cancer and they take out the lobe and the cancer's gone. So God, for her mother, delivered her by taking care of the cancer, by removing the cancer. And Lisa came to the point of realizing that she was going to be delivered by being taken up into heaven. The closer that she got to being with the Lord, the more mindful she got of heaven. The last woman's retreat that she did here at the church was on heaven. And there was a little mock-up that they had of what the stage was like, and she had it right set right next to where her hospital bed was in the house. In the days before she died, I don't know what was happening with the tumors that were growing, but it was causing her to kind of like just kind of lean over to one to the right. And she was leaning more towards heaven, towards the picture of heaven as she did that. But a couple of weeks before she died, she had told me she realized God's taking me home. God's delivering me by taking me home. And Skip was here teaching for me, Skip Heitzik. And a lot of my friends that came out, even while I was in town, just going through that, that came and taught while I was there. Gino Geraci was teaching the weekend that she died here. And she said to me, can you have Skip come by the hospital? And I said, yeah, I'm sure he will. I'll call him. How come? She goes, well, I got some questions about heaven to ask him. And I was like, you want to pass them by me? She's like, no, I'll wait for Skip. All right. But our main conversation when Skip came in was on the intermediate state. She was concerned. Am I going to heaven and just going to be a spirit? Am I going to not have a body? What does the Bible say? And so we talked about it. And Paul, as he talks about the experience of being caught up into heaven, as he talks about this, is confident. And Paul is the one who answers this question, by the way, when he talks about a tent. He calls this body a tent. So we have a tent that's wearing out over time. Doesn't look as good as it used to look. Will not never look as good as it used to look until it's renewed. But in between, we have a home or a tent. Some translations say a building made by God so that we are not going to be without a home or without a tent. So we are going to have a temporary body while we're in heaven, while we're waiting for the resurrected bodies that we know that we will have this body forever, but it will be glorified. All right? You'd be like, I wish I would have died when I was younger if I'm going to have this body forever. No, it's glorified body. All right? But it is that body that's been transformed. So first of all, there's no soul sleep in heaven. So there's a group of Christians who believe that when you die, you just take a nap and you wake up when everybody's in heaven. So it doesn't matter if what time you get there or what's going to happen. You just kind of go to sleep and you wake up. Everybody's going to wake up at the same time. And they believe this because the Bible in a few places talks about Christians when they die sleeping. But that's because you close your eyes here or, you know, you die here and you wake up in presence of God. You're still alive. You're not dead. And so it's proper to talk about Christians sleeping. Their bodies are here, but they're sleeping and will one day be awakened. So there's no soul sleep. And the intermediate state, we do have some kind of a temporary body, something like a tent. And when we enter into his presence, listen to what it says in Psalm 16:11. And you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand is pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. Now, we're so used to thinking about the way that we think, chemicals in the brain that make you feel a certain way, and happiness and joy are just two different things. Happiness is connected to circumstances. Something happens, you get a big refund on your taxes, and you're happy. And then, you know, your air conditioner breaks down, you got to buy a new one, and now you're sad. But joy is connected to something much deeper. So that Paul in prison could have this joy, and Paul could be talking to a church in Philippi, which is in Rome, being persecuted by Romans, and talk about them having joy, even though family members have been arrested, beaten, and killed, still there's a deep, abiding joy that is down inside of us. And in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So he goes on then in 22. And then that kind of where he says, for me to live as Christ and to die is gain. The gain would be heaven. The gain would be being in the presence of God. The gain would be having the fullness of joy that is there. So then he says in verse 22, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Now he begins to calculate the two as if he's got a choice. And I'll be honest with you, as I'm studying this, I'm trying to figure out, does he have a choice? Is he thinking, you know, I could just insult Nero when I get up there. He'll take off my head. I could very easily make this happen by just, you know, the way I respond. Or is he just thinking about what he wants to happen? Is he saying, hey, look, I got to figure out what I want. If I live here, it means fruit for my labor. That while we're here, we have an opportunity to be able to do things for eternity, for people. This would speak even more importantly of us living for Christ, wanting our lives to shine for him, wanting to take opportunities to people to see Christ in us and to share Christ with them. And then he says, yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. And there's the part that you go, what do you mean what you will choose, you cannot tell? I mean, is God maybe giving him a, you know, Paul, you want to stay here? You can. You want to go? You can. I don't know. I don't think this is a normal thing. Or if he's writing it in a way where he's just thinking this through, what I will choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two. I'm having a really difficult time. If we found out that there's a possibility that we could die within a couple of weeks, I wonder if we would be like, I don't know. I kind of want to stay and I kind of want to go. I think we go, I want to live, right? I want to be here with family and friends. But Paul understood that, well, you'll hear what he says here in a moment. So he says, I'm hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So this is why he has the problem. When I finally go and be with the Lord, don't be sad for me. Don't feel sorry for me. Let's put it that way. Don't feel sorry for me. You can feel sorry for me if I get sick and have a lot of pain here. Feel sorry for me then. I'm fine with that. But when I'm in heaven, don't feel sorry for me. I hope you miss me a little bit. But that's really how we ought to be thinking about anyone that goes into the presence of God. And we understand that there's deep grief that happens. You can't avoid that. But nevertheless, as we come to the point in our life, and I'm still voting for Jesus coming back for us all, by the way. I'm voting for Jesus coming back pretty soon, and we all just meet him in the air. But as we come to the place near the end of our lives, this passage is a great passage for us to reflect upon. For to be with Christ is far better than being here. I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And that's really the struggle that you have. As Lisa got to near the end of her life, when she was still mobile, I would ask her, what do you want to do tonight? And she would say, I want to go over and see Evan. Evan was born on October 15th. She passed away on December 15th, 2 months later. And she would say, I want to go over and see Evan. Just what she wanted to do. She knew it was going to be hard for us when she was gone, so it would be better for us if she stayed, but she had her mind on heaven as well. And Paul has the same thing. He's concerned about them. This church, which he really loves, that cares for him, that is one of the only churches out of all of them that he planted that are providing for his needs while he's in prison. He says, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. So it's almost like he's worked through this now. He's confident, he says. I'm confident of this. I know that I shall remain with you and continue with you in your progress of joy. He speaks now of their joy. He spoke of his joy earlier. Now he speaks of their joy. They're a persecuted church. They're facing hardships that are unfathomable. If you could imagine that at our church, we were being persecuted, where people were being arrested, people were being killed, people were being beaten and released. And he speaks of their joy. He says, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Now, whether or not he was able to go with them again, we know that Paul at least went to Philippi twice. He had three missionary journeys. The first one was kind of a small area up into the middle of Turkey. The second, he went over into Europe where he established Philippi and the church in Corinth, and then back over into Turkey, into Ephesus. And then the third one, he made his way all the way back around again. And of course, then found himself in Rome where he was arrested, found himself in Jerusalem where he was arrested and sent back to Rome. So whether or not God allowed him to be able to make that trip again is just something we do not know. In closing, we consider that happiness is something temporary and connected to our circumstances, but joy is something deeper and not connected to our circumstances at all. That even in the midst of unhappy times, we can have joy. You may have something going on that is affecting your happiness, but there is still a joy to be thankful for. This is why Paul can have joy in a Roman jail, because it's not the circumstances that he's in. And remembering that in God's presence is fullness of joy. It's so that either way we are on our way to having, we have joy here, but we will have a fullness of joy that is with God in his presence. And may this be something that we remember as we approach that time in our lives when we go to be with the Lord. And when loved ones who we love go to be with the Lord, that we would remember it as well. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much as we have considered here tonight heaven, as we consider the intermediate state, being with you, what it's going to be like. And Lord, help us that we are not too attached to this world, attached to family, friends here, the brothers and sisters in Christ, yes. Help us to be more attached so that in the day that you do call us home, what we miss is them. But help us to know that our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We're aliens here. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're passing through. Thank you that you have given us this passage by Paul as he reflects the heart of a spiritual man on eternity and being close to going home. And I pray that that would minister to those that may be facing that in their lives today. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. And I want to give you an opportunity, if you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your life. The Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. This means that you invite him in. This isn't easy believism. You make a shift, you make a pivot, you repent in that you are not living for God, and you decide now you want to live for him. And then you give him an invitation. Jesus comes into your life and he radically transforms you and changes you. Jesus took your sin upon the cross, and the Old Testament foretold that that would happen, that God would take our iniquity and would lay it upon him. So that if you're here today and you're ready to say, I'm ready to live for him, Jesus himself said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. If you're thinking today, I'm not ready to give my life to Christ, I want my life. If you seek to save it, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for his sake, you'll save it. You'll find out what your life is supposed to be all about if you receive him here today. So if you want to give your life to Christ, I want to pray with you. I want to give you an opportunity by simply right where you are, just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now, lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand and to pray for you. I bless you. That's great. All right. And if you are online, you can just respond. You don't have to raise your hand, but you can just say, Lord, I want you. Lord, come into my life and pray this prayer with me. I'd like everybody, including those who raise their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Now, if you're here and you made that commitment, or if you want to know more about it, there's a new believers table along the wall over here. We've got a great new believers team. Stop and talk to them. They want to give you a new believers packet, a Bible. If you're online, you've got two options. You could send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Tell us your story, what God did, kind of give us a, you know, write out, you got room in an email, write out your testimony. Tell us what God did for you. And we'll have people who will respond and talk to you about things that you need to do now. You could also, if you want to text, you could text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. The link you get back is going to be our new believers card. Click that out, fill it out, click on it, fill it out, and we'll have someone get in touch with you promptly. All right. And now I want to pray for you. And I want to pray as we think about where we're at today, the remainder of life that we have to live for Him, that we would be able to use that for Him. When we get to heaven, it'll be too late for us to do the work here. Now, I don't know if there'll be any work up in heaven that God has for us, but to be able to do anything for people here now, for God, can only happen now. So I want to pray for you that God would fill you with the Spirit, that God would encourage you towards helping people, and that you would find joy in the midst of that and have your heart, your mind set on heaven as a citizen of heaven. The Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you, men and women, to lift up your hands. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for us, Lord, as we consider what we share with the rest of the time that we have here. None of us knows exactly how long we have, but what we do know is that while we're here, we can represent you and we can minister to people. Allow us to be servants. Allow us to be ministers. Allow us to come alongside of people and make a difference. Let us have the right priorities in each one of our lives about heaven and this earth and the time that we have here. May we faithfully minister to the people around us. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you be overwhelmed with what God has done for you, not only here, because I don't know, circumstances may be sad or happy for you, I don't know. But may you look ahead to what heaven is going to be and be thankful for what God is going to give us on that great day when we find ourselves in heaven. And I think Paul's not hesitant. Paul says it'd be far greater. But I think that when we get there, we'll go, I don't know why I was so hesitant to get here. This is pretty amazing.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.